Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Sarah Lofgren, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is In the Rearview Mirror. Well, here we go. I've only ever owned one car. She was my first grown-up purchase. After graduation, it became quickly evident that the scooter I'd used to zip around campus wasn't going to cut it on the slippery streets of Seattle. My dad helped me find her on eBay. She was a used 2002 Hyundai Santa Fe with silver skin peppered in dents. She'd previously been involved in a rollover situation, but her guts were unharmed. While her previous owner wasn't thrilled at the thought of hanging on to an imperfect vehicle, I was poor and open to the idea. She cost $7,000. It was a fortune then and, let's be honest, also now. But she seemed worth it, as she was sturdy, safe, and even trendy if you squinted your eyes and allowed for creative liberties. I was bigger then, still swollen with the possibilities of the lives I might lead. A wealthy novelist, a stylish professor or quirky artist, a journalist, an actor or maybe a movie director, but most of all, a dancer. Fuck, I wanted to be a dancer so badly, it made my stomach hurt if I reflected on it too long. As I couldn't possibly want something that much and not get it, I was certain everything would work out. I drove the Santa Fe to many exotic locations. My retail jobs, my performing jobs, my teaching jobs. My dance students thought she was cool. And everyone knows high schoolers get to decide these things. I started a dance company. I piled costumes, props, and dancers into the Santa Fe and drove them to every show I could book. My friends were beginning to quit dance, giving up the old dream for husbands and office jobs. I decided to be better than that. I was going to dance forever. I was probably going to drive the Santa Fe forever because there was no way I'd ever afford another car on what I was making. Foreshadowing. I hold on to things longer than I should. One afternoon I was hit while going south on I-5. Two cars crashed into me with such force I thought my spirit had slammed out of my skeleton. Then the world grew small and quiet. My hand shook. My heart beat. My breath returned. I was okay. The Santa Fe had withstood the hit and kept me safe. No PTSD. No fear of getting back on the horse. If it happened again, she'd keep me safe then, too. There's an amusement park an hour south of Seattle, and if you set yourself the task of riding every ride, you can wear yourself out pretty well. On a summer day, I drove three friends there, and we did exactly that. We rode the ride that loops around and around. We gave the roller coaster six chances to impress us. I think there was a spinning octopus ride, but I can't exactly remember. At the end of the day, I was exhausted and hungry, but filled with noble purpose. It was up to me and the Santa Fe to get everyone home safely. I played the radio softly as I drove. In the rearview mirror, I watched as one of my friends, a particular boy, began sinking into a deep sleep. Peaceful, happy, unafraid. It was a long time before the Santa Fe had a name, mostly because I suck at naming things. One night, I was talking to the boy on AOL Instant Messenger, and he let the phrase drop, Sarah's Arctic Wolf. It stuck. She was strong, but lean, filled with determination, her coat damaged and dirty, with patches of silver that peeked through after the rain. I never really washed her. The Santa Fe was definitely an Arctic wolf. I took her out of town for a weekend, and she broke down on the way back. It wasn't her fault. I hadn't been super clear on how often a timing belt needs to be replaced. The tow truck took hours to get there, and because there wasn't much happening on that stretch of I-90 bathroom-wise, I ended up having to pee in the woods. The peeing detail doesn't flow well with the overall narrative of this story, but it seemed interesting enough to mention. The breakdown was followed by math. Would it be more effective to just invest in a new used car, or should I replace the Arctic Wolf's engine? I'm still not sure which option would have been cheaper, but I pretended it was the latter. Early one morning, I had an accident in my apartment involving some head trauma and a few inexplicable side effects. I was scared, but I did what I've always done, pushed the pain aside and drove to work. All my life, despite injuries or sickness, I've always gone to work. It's what my jobs required. This time, I was only a few months into a new office job. When my co-workers saw I wasn't well, they insisted I leave for the day and seek treatment. One offered to drive me home in the Arctic Wolf. We wove through the empty, mid-morning streets while I hoped I wasn't inconveniencing anyone too much. "This car is really easy to drive," my co-worker said. The Arctic Wolf passed 150K, passed 160K, and crept up to 170. She began to leak oil, and her air conditioning stopped working. During the pandemic, she sat in her parking spot, emerging less and less as the circumference of my experiences shrank to where my legs could carry me. One evening, I found a puddle of glass on the ground. All these years, and it was the first time anyone had dared break the Arctic Wolf's windows. I was angry on her behalf. The vandals had rummaged through the contents of the Santa Fe, taking nothing, but leaving behind a jumble of random items mixed together with shards of glass, old papers, books, blankets, and dance costumes. I don't know why I still had those old dance costumes. It had been 4 years since my last dance concert. The brakes started squeaking. The mileage climbed to 187K. The oil leak grew worse. The check engine light switched on, and the engine started making a chunka-chunka sound. "We can fix her," my husband said. "It's time," I said. A man came and hooked her to a tiny tow truck. I walked away, because I couldn't watch. Maybe I failed her. Maybe I could have coaxed more miles out of her, and it still could have been the two of us making our way up and down the highway. It was time. Was it time? I'm not sure how to categorize this story. Death? Work? Space? Re-entry? Those are the options. Death? It makes sense. After all, there's my beautiful Arctic Wolf slowly getting dragged away. It's likely her final destination is a junkyard, where she'll be disassembled, whatever's deemed of value trickled out to other car owners. They won't have any concept of the views that rearview mirror provided, or the way the headlights lit me safely home after thousands of late-night dance classes. Actually, the headlights were trash. They were so murky I could barely see 3 inches in front of my windshield, and it's a miracle I never hit anything. There's no way anyone's getting those. They won't know the magnitude of the dreams she toted around and the fact that a few of them didn't come true. But what's growing up anymore, right? Knowing when to hold on and when to let go, constructing new dreams to fill the spaces left by the old. And there's this other car. She's from 2001, but she's only got 30,000 miles on her. A few dents. No name as of yet, but we'll fix that. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook. Or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.